All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here once again on a Friday night. It sure is good to see those of you who are able to make it here tonight for our Friday night discipleship class. Again, it's always a blessing whenever the church doors are open for Christians to come together, fellowship, so we can pray together, encourage one another, but most of all, learn more, a little bit more about the Bible to continue to change our lives. Of course, midweek Bible study, Friday night discipleship class. It's our little church tradition. I mean, of course, it's not necessarily biblically, you know, required, but for sure, Sundays. Don't be fooling yourselves now. Sundays, the Bible tells us, is our day where we gather, come together, as the Bible tells us, to set apart our finances, set apart our time on the Lord's Day. Sunday for sure. Try our best to always make it, but of course, these traditional days that we've began is just a time for us to come together as a church family once again to encourage each other and also to study the Bible together. So again, I want to thank God for those of you who are tuning in with us, either watching on the Facebook church page or our podcasts. We now have our Podbean. So I do not have the window up, but give me 1 second here. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our new, give me 1 second here, church. Let me go ahead and just remind everybody here and a friendly announcement here for what's going on here. Give me 1 second. Minimize that and add source. Come back here. And there we go. Okay. So again, just a friendly reminder for some announcements that we have going on. As you guys know, tomorrow is Saturday. We like to go sowing. So if you have an opportunity tomorrow morning around the time from 11 to 12, somewhere in that range, my wife needs somebody to go with her to go door knocking. So I'm not going to be pointing any fingers around here. But just in case somebody around here ain't doing nothing, you know, please hang out with Katie. That'll be a blessing. You don't have to, but it sure be a blessing. Somebody can just come along her side and help her out. I'm going to be going to a men's prayer in Chula Vista with Pastor Melito and our church family down there. And then I'm going to be coming back up so we can go public soul winning downtown at the beach from about, you know, 1 or 1:30 to 2 or 2:30, you know, our usual hour and a half that we like to go out there and soul win, pass out some flyers just to keep telling the world about Jesus Christ. So if you can, that should be a blessing if you can join us. So those are the announcements for that for tomorrow. And then, of course, this Sunday, just want to remind y'all, hey, welcome back. This Sunday after church, praise God, is Sister Eileen's birthday party. Baptism, amen. Baptism. So no beach, sister, so far? No beach? Are we still trying to go for a pool? Is that on your heart? If we can't find a pool by Saturday, last minute, we'll just go. Do you want to just go to the beach and knock it out? Yeah. Okay, so we're still looking for a pool. So just in case, we'll see if Canyon Club is available, my wife's grandparents, and the second, we'll ask Brother Felipe and Sister Maribel if that pool's available over there. That'd be pretty cool. It'd be a testimony to those folks. And then, of course, after baptism, if our church wants to, man, we can all hang out and have dinner together and just have a good time, you know, have some good fellowship, play some games and stuff like that. But we just want to rejoice with Sister Eileen for making that bold step of obedience to the Lord and publicly declaring to the world and her family she's a committed Christian. Amen. And of course, for those of you guys who know, Brother Manny, praise the Lord, he fellowshiped with us last night, went soul winning, and I told him, of course, if he doesn't have any commitments, come on by after church. So hopefully Brother Manny can show up. We'll see. So just keep him in prayer for that. Okay, so other quick announcements. Ministry opportunities, like I said, if anybody here is available tomorrow for men, I know it's a late notice, and I know some of you work, so don't worry, but I'm always just going to put it out there. Men's prayer tomorrow at Berean Bible Baptist in Chula Vista. If you're able to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning, I know you pretty much, some of us here work tomorrow, that's totally fine. But again, I always want to put those announcements. I'm going to be going in the morning to the men's prayer on the motorcycle coming on back. So if there are any ladies in the house tonight that are not busy, don't have any commitments, if you want to be a blessing with Sister Katie to go door knocking with her, that would be awesome. But I will be coming back for that time right, that we usually go for our public outreach, soul win downtown at the beach around, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock to go out there for about an hour, hour and a half. So if any ladies here tonight are not busy tomorrow and you want to join Sister Katie, just go pass out some flyers. She knows where we left off. That'd be awesome. And then if you want to join us for the soul winning and the public outreach, let me know when I get back from Chula Vista. And then pray for me for safe traveling. Amen. Kate is obviously a little worried on the motorcycle, but it's all good. But yeah, yesterday, quick praise. I mean, praise God. Brother Manny, for those of you guys who know, he's still a friend, and I'm very thankful. And he's been the only guy thus far who has left the church fellowship, but still being a godly friend. And that's awesome. So he helped us out. Soul win last night. That was a blessing. A little darkness down there. It was a little crazy, y'all, if y'all were there last night. But, you know, he had some good conversations. I had some good conversations. Let's pray for this guy named Jose tonight before we start, and for him to come to church. He said he'd come visit one of these days. And, of course, all the souls that Manny and I and Katie spoke with, pray for their souls. Pray that the Lord saves them, and then hopefully they'll come to church one day. There's another fellow named John. He doesn't attend a local church here in Oceanside. He goes to Carlsbad, but he's been getting stirred to go evangelizing. He used to go a long time ago by himself, and every time he sees Katie and I or Manny out there, he tries to just have a conversation. So yesterday, I'm very proud of my wife. She was encouraging this guy. What are you doing, dude? Get back on out here and evangelize. Come out with us. So who knows? Maybe his heart will get stirred to probably join us. Who knows? That'll be awesome. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, as we all know, church, and that's our heart. So not next Thursday. Remember, every other Thursday we take a break. So next Thursday is our break, then the following. But next Saturday, just want to remind our church, if anybody's available and you're not busy, if you want to help my wife and I move, I got you for dinner. That'll be awesome. We're going to try to knock it out on Saturday. So next Saturday, officially, we're moving to our new place. So hopefully everything will work out. Just want to put that announcement out there. Okay, so prayer, of course. Put up that prayer request, y'all, right there online or in the box back there. Livestream links, if you haven't already, Podbean. It's a free audio app. It's not the coolest, but hey, it's affordable. Amen. If you want to listen to our sermons, background in an MP3 format, you don't have time to watch in videos while you're out there delivering mail. Boom, right here. You can listen to it on the audio. Facebook and YouTube, y'all already know. And then, of course, you can give any time between you and the Lord. So with that said, I hope and pray everybody's having a good weekend. Are everybody good? Having a weekend? Everybody's day is going good? Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm having a good day. Amen. Like I said, last night was awesome. I had a good fellowship with Brother Manny. We had dinner together, just encouraging each other's hearts. So that was a blessing. All right, church. With that said, let's go ahead and get right back into it in our Friday night discipleship. Guys, we are halfway through. Look at that. We'll be done in one more year. No, I'm just kidding, but we'll see how long this thing is. But this is a really big book. So one book, Rightly Divided. I know both pastors. I met one of them who wrote this book, Andrew Ray, great friend from Tennessee, Antioch Baptist Church out there. And then, of course, the other brother, Doug Stauffer, he pastors, I think it's Faithful Word Baptist Church or something like this in Florida. I forgot where he pastors at now. But I thanked him last night on the comments on Facebook because he still produces really good books. So if any of you ever want to check out his website, it's called BibleDoug.com. And he has really good Christian commentary that'll help you. And the way that I can explain it to you, church, is like this. We know that the Bible, this is our main entree. This right here is our main source of food right here, amen. This is our entree, this is our dinner, our breakfast, lunch, everything. Just think about Christian commentaries as a vitamin or a supplement. That's all it is. It's just to aid you for a hair bit, but it does not replace your primary food, your diet. So just know, Bible, primary food, primary diet, commentaries of men, supplements, vitamins. Okay, hope that gives you guys a quick example there. All right, church, let's go ahead and open up in our study book tonight to page 493. 493, what have we been talking about for the past couple of Friday nights on our new chapter of our study, discipleship class? We've been talking about how God dealt with people prior to the Lord Jesus Christ offering his blood on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago to be the final atonement for the sins of the world. And we have been discussing how God dealt with primarily, number one, the Israelites, the children of Israel, because he gave them laws. We saw how they had certain commandments that they had to maintain and keep if they wanted to maintain their physical life to be prolonged. But we saw from all the various Bible study verses we've been going through these past couple of weeks that clearly the keeping of the commandments of Moses or any of the laws given to the nation of Israel did not justify their soul, that is to save their soul for eternal life. Rather, it preserved their life on the earth, because ultimately justification for the soul was always by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, Hebrews chapter 11. So every Jew who died believing in Jehovah, they died with a justified heart because they put their faith in God's word. However, if they died disobeying the commandments of God, most likely the Lord will bring about a judgment or something along those lines where their life ended prematurely. And that's what we've been talking about when one would die in their sin or die in iniquity. We've been talking about that, especially considering the book of Ezekiel, because a lot of other Christian brothers of ours will go to these portions of Scripture and try to use it because they misdivide, they misapply. They're not looking at the context of the physical life being preserved, and they want to tell us that it's the soul, but we've studied it together, and I think so far it's been reasonable for us to take the position that we do here at church. So now, let's talk about a fellow named Samson, because now all that principle study that we talked about, which is Israel under the law, obeying the commandments, it could not save their soul, but rather it'll physically preserve their life. Israel under captivity, when God would raise up Gentile nations, specifically in this context, King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, to go over there and take the Jews from their promised land as a judgment from God. And remember, they didn't have the temple, they didn't have sacrificial systems, but they had prophets, and the Lord would give them a word, hey, do this and you'll live, right? And so now, all the principle that we've been studying, we're going to talk about a man now. We're going to look at his life, and that's none other than Samson. And how many of you guys remember the movie we watched last time about Samson? Y'all remember that movie? It was really cool. Sister Maribel was encouraged when she was giving birth. Lord, give me a strength like Samson. He was a man used by God mightily. But how many of you guys know he had a problem? Just like a lot of men have problems. And what was his problem? The women. You know what I'm saying? The ladies. He couldn't keep his hands off the women. But according to the Bible, he was justified by faith because he was named in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's go to open up with a word of prayer, bottom page 493. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us tonight, once again, to come together to be refreshed and encouraged with our family in Jesus. No matter how our family in the flesh may be doing, or for me, adopted family, some may be walking with you, some may be totally disobeying you tonight, God, and sometimes that discourages our heart and makes us sad to see the people around us that we love not necessarily wanting to live for you, Lord. But tonight, God, I'm thankful that we have a church family. All of us here tonight are family. We're going to live together with each other in heaven for eternity. So, God, no matter what we go through as Christians, even more so, help us have grace to forgive each other, to love each other, and move on. And, Lord, I thank you for last night. Lord, that was a blessing. Brother Manny coming along our side. Lord, would you bless him, and would you help him to continue to show him what it is that you have in plan for his life, God, his calling. Like we were praying a couple of weeks ago, Lord, we pray for his daughter's health to continue to get better and relationship there to get stronger, Lord. And Lord, other than that, I thank you for everybody here tonight, Lord. If there's anybody else on their way, Lord, help them get here safely. I thank you for what you're going to do. May you continue to teach us, help us to learn from studied men, good pastors, to learn from their books. But ultimately, we know that they're not the Word of God. They just help us understand it. The Word of God is our final authority. So Lord, wherever they agree with it, help us to take it in. Wherever they don't, help us to take it with a grain of salt. But ultimately, God, whatever knowledge we gain, help us to use it with charity to help build up other Christians, not to destroy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, bottom page 493, Samson. It is always wise to test one's belief against the totality of Scripture. Very good. Do me a favor. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then we are going to go to another verse. Allow me to search it in the background here. I completely agree with that statement, that we need to test one's belief with the totality of Scripture. And so what that means is whenever we meet somebody on the streets or whenever somebody comes up to us and says, I believe, and then they begin to give you some type of explanation, it is always good and always safe, church, to cross-reference the Bible with their statement, and therefore you can see if they are in agreement or disagreement, and then the knowledge that you've been gaining from church and Bible study and your personal reading, you can use it to help either agree with them and encourage them to keep going, or correct them in love. In love. Remember that, in love. So 1 Thessalonians 5, turn with me here to verse number, I believe it's 21. There you go, yeah. The Bible states here, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So God gave you command tonight, church, to prove everything with the Word of God, regardless if they're family or not. If they say, I believe we should, what does the Bible say about it? Well, I think God, what does the Bible say about it? You know, fill in the blank, always go to the book. Let's go to two more places. The next one is Ephesians. Just go back a couple of books to the left. We have four books there. Ephesians, and let's turn together to chapter 5. The Bible says here in verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So again, number 2, we need to continuously prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, especially in Christian fellowship, especially amongst other believers. Not only doctrine, but how do we live our life? Let's always go by the book and say, hey, is this acceptable before God? And then one more, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And if I can get a volunteer to read verse number 16, and then if I can get a separate volunteer to read verse number 17. Awesome. Thank you, sisters. Perfect. All scripture, the Bible you have in your hands tonight, that very Bible Brother Giovanni has, Sister Kina has, Sister Eileen has, that thing right there, that is the Word of God. That thing right there, that is a double-edged sword. That thing right there has the power, guys, to change someone's life for the rest of their life. It also has judgment. It also has the future. It also tells you about the creation. I mean, guys, that book right there is the Word of God. And look at what it says. It's good for church. It's good for doctrine. That's what we're doing tonight. We are teaching. We are learning what the Bible teaches. Doctrine. Number 2, it's good for reproof. Again, if somebody needs to be, maybe some of y'all understand this term tonight, checked. Somebody needs to be reproved. Somebody needs to be kind of like, hey, what are you doing? Don't you know that God says? And then you let them know in love. Number 3, what does it say, church? Correction. Perhaps somebody had a particular view or a thought about God, and then all of a sudden, Sister Katie says, but friend, according to the verse here, this is what it says, and so your thought is incorrect, and that's okay. Sometimes we're all learning. We think a thing about God before we actually study, and that's what it's good for. And then lastly, instruction in righteousness. What does that mean, church? Right living. Instruction in righteousness, learning how to be a right living Christian before God. So back to our study, bottom page 493. A few case studies found within Scripture should either confirm a faith-based salvation or a works for salvation theory. So again, what are we talking about? Everything that we've been discussing as it pertains to the Old Testament. Okay, so for example, let's consider Samson. Question, did he die in his iniquity? If dying in one's sin or iniquity involves dying a premature death because of one's disobedience to God and refusal to repent at the warnings of God, Samson indeed died in his sin. Let's talk about that. Did Samson die in his sin? Did he die as a result of a choice he made, and because of that choice, it ultimately led to his physical demise? Yes, he did. Remember, he kept disobeying God. He kept having sex with a lot of women, and all of a sudden, it ended up cutting, a woman cut his hair off. He had the Nazarite vow, and remember, church, that the Philistines were able to get him, restrain him, put him in jail, remember that? And eventually, what did they do with his eyes, church? They took his eyes out. I mean, yes, God used him mightily at the end of his life. I mean, the guy ended up taking down the pillars, remember? But he died. Samson, however, he broke his Nazarite vow and sinned by going into the Philistine woman without any attempts to right the wrongs. Even his final act was a suicidal act of vengeance. I don't know if you ever thought about it like that, church. So if a man's eternal state was directly tied to dying in one's iniquity or based upon whether he died doing good works, Samson would certainly have found himself in hell after his suicidal act. In fact, only God's grace and mercy, top of page 494, could have landed Samson in paradise. So, was Samson saved? Where did he end up after he died? All we know for certain is that Samson was mentioned by name in the Hall of Faith. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. And let's go ahead and turn now, church, all the way down. Well, let's go ahead and remind ourselves again of the context of what Hebrews 11 is talking about. Amen? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, the Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of, let me repeat that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So now, question. According to God, all the Hebrews that lived long ago during the Old Testament times before Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, how did the elders obtain a good report, church? Through faith, verse number 1. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, now the writer of Hebrews begins to give us a list of Old Testament folks who God said, they have a good rapport before me because of their faith. And their faith first in God is what wrought the good work, or hence an obedient act that God recorded that manifested their heart of faith in the first place. So what does it start with, church? It always starts with a heart of faith to believe God. And then obviously, once you believe God from that heart of faith, then you're willing to carry out what God commands you to do or expects of you to do. So then he gives you a list all the way back there from Adam and Eve in the time after they came out of the garden. Abel, Enoch, you see there, Noah, verse 7, verse 8, Abraham. So let's talk about Samson. For those of you guys that are just coming in right now, thank you. Page 494 in the big book. Page 494. We're just talking about Samson. And if the theory of by other Christians who teach that Old Testament saints were saved by faith and works is true, well, Samson died in his sin. Because remember, he was a fornicator. He was a whoremonger. He ended up dying in an act of suicide. He died in sin. And so if that theory is true, where did he go when he died? Where did his soul go? Or if what the more scriptural presentation seems to be to us in the position we take, they were justified by faith, where did his soul go after the fact? Well, let's read together. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. The writer of Hebrews states, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson. Notice his names right there. And of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through what, church? Verse number 33, faith. So again, according to the Holy Ghost, the record of Samson was that he was a man of what? Faith. Now, we may see his life on a horizontal level and say, wow, Samson had a lot of mistakes, just like you and I have a lot of mistakes. But vertically, before God, his soul was justified because he what? He had faith in God. He put his faith in the Word of God when it was presented to him. And that is like us today. We have something called what men have described as a way to understand this truth, standing versus state. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your standing before God is justified. You are looked at through the righteousness of Christ. Remember, he saved you by his faith, his goodness, all that was imputed to you, it was credit to you, it was given to you when you put your what? Faith in the gospel. So you're standing before God right now, you're saved, you're sealed, you're going to go to heaven when you die. But your state on the earth, how many of us know it's like a roller coaster, amen? We make mistakes, we still sin. Some of us may point the finger and say, are you really saved? Look at what you did. But from God's eyes, you are. Man's eyes are like, I don't know, brother. Again, Samson. Okay, page 494. What landed him there? Faith, mercy, and grace. In other words, Samson lived an undeserving life, and only his faith, based upon the grace and mercy of God, could have gained Samson entrance into paradise. In fact, consider the last words of the man of faith. Let's go ahead and go back to Judges chapter 16. Let's read from the man's mouth himself, so that way we're able to verify with his own profession. Because how many guys know, before we baptize you, what do? We ask you if you are in agreement and we ask you for your profession of faith. Do you believe? And then you tell us, I believe Christ, and you know, you go through this. Let's see Samson's profession of faith from his own mouth. Judges chapter 16, and let's read together here in verse number 28. Can I get a volunteer to read that? Thank you, Brother Felipe. What do we have there? Remember the movie. We saw it, right? He's in jail. He is in the Philistine temple. He's in Philistine territory because he disobeyed God. That was an act of judgment. But right before he's about to go all out, in faith, he calls upon God to forgive him, right? Have mercy on me, Lord. Would you strengthen me one more time, God? That's why we know he was justified by faith. And that's why the Holy Ghost tells us thousands of years later, through whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, Samson is in that roll call of faith because he believed in the Lord. But let's consider the dilemma Samson presents for those other Christians, not just independent Baptists who interpret people being saved by works and faith. Let's consider a dilemma that would present for their interpretation. Number one, if Samson went to hell, his inclusion in Hebrews chapter 11 needs some type of explanation. Number two, there is no record of Samson ever bringing any sacrifices to atone for his sins and iniquities. Remember that one. How about that? Number three, the Spirit of God came upon Samson when he was in the worst spiritual state. Number four, the Lord departed from Samson when his hair was cut, breaking his Nazarite vow. Number five, God used an ungodly Samson to bring about his will. And then lastly, God's enemies blaspheme God because of Samson's carnal acts. So obviously, guys, no prudent Bible teacher would ever extol the virtues of living like Samson to earn one's salvation. He was not a righteous man who was saved by his works, obviously. But he was obviously a saved man mentioned by name in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. He went to paradise after his death, but he went there sooner than he should have because of his disobedience. Since he judged Israel for only 20 years, one could make the case that his work for God was cut in half. Let's go down there to verse 31. The Bible states here, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down, took him, brought him up, buried him between Zorah and Eshtol, in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Page 495. Samson judged Israel for only 20 years. But why only 20 years? Okay, let me give you guys a quick reminder. The book of Judges, what is it about, guys? Moses delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. Remember the Lord used them 40 years in the wilderness. Who succeeded him? Joshua. Remember that? Well, after Joshua came into the promised land, the tribes began to settle. God raised up a people, if you will, people who operated in the office of a judge to oversee the people of Israel on behalf of God until a prophet was raised up who would be Samuel years later. So the time of Judges is when God anointed a individual to, if you will, bring the word on behalf of God to the people, guide them to remain faithful to the law because they already had it. So Samson was one of those judges. Page 495, Samson judged Israel for only 20 years. But why only 20 years? That is half of what David reigned. Josiah also reigned 40 years. Solomon reigned 40 years. The early termination of his judgeship shows what sin will do to the disobedient. Can I get an amen? How about that? Samson's life and service for God was cut short because of sin. This is exactly what the scripture means when it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4, Ezekiel 18:20. Had Samson demonstrated a repentant heart and offered the required sacrifices, his life could have conceivably been extended, or at least not cut short. That's reasonable. If there was a law given which could have given eternal life, it would have been got by God's perfect and righteous law. Yet the Bible says that this type of salvation was just not possible because of the weakness of man's flesh. However, the law did allow a man who sinned against God's commandments to bring the necessary sacrifices to extend his longevity. What does that mean? His physical life. You guys understand what we're talking about so far? Again, if those brothers' theory of interpreting Old Testament people on how they got saved, like you and I understand it today, that is the soul, by works and faith, sacrifice and faith or something, what about Samson? Because he didn't do any of that, and he died. However, his soul was justified by faith, Hebrews chapter 11. So again, what are we doing? All you're going to do, brother or sister, is when you meet somebody on the street, or they come to your church, or they invite you to another church, you just got to measure up their teaching with the book. And they may be super cool, very nice, and they may even believe the King James Bible. But if they disagree with a particular doctrine, like the scripture says in Hebrews 11, just know that is their commentary interpretation. We're not going to call them heretics. If they make fun of us, that's fine. But we know what the Bible teaches, and you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Now, before I continue, let me just tell you a quick story. There is a gentleman who is very renowned in a particular independent Baptist camp. And a long time ago, we went to this conference. Me, Brother Manny, my wife, I think Kwame went with us. I'm not sure. But this fellow represents this general crowd that preaches and teaches what they call dispensational salvation, which is kind of weird. You're not going to see it in the Bible, but that's just the terms that they've come up with it to explain the way that they interpret it. So I privately asked this young guy, I said, look, brother, let me ask you a question. I use Samson as the example. I said, brother in love, let me ask you a question. At one point was Samson justified by his work? He did not have an answer for me. And I asked him in love in front of this brother here, because I want him to see, if you have a question or a comment or a critic, go to the man himself. You don't have to just sit behind a computer and say, I disagree, blah, blah, blah. No, have enough confidence and boldness to go straight to the source and be like, hey, bro, let's talk about the scriptures. Let's sharpen up each other. When was he justified? He didn't have an answer. Another pastor friend of mine down in San Diego area, I asked him the very same question because he holds that same view. He did not have an answer for me too. But you ask me, Brother Carlos, hey, as a pastor, what do you say about Samson? When was he justified? By faith. I have an answer. Hebrews 11, simple. You see how easy it is, church? If you just leave the Bible alone, it'll do its job. It'll do its job. The next person we're going to talk about is King Saul. King Saul. But before we go, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Galatians, because I think we just need to state this one more time. Let's go ahead and turn together now to the book of Galatians, chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Let's go ahead and read together one of these verses. I want to see if it's here. Give me a second, church. Perfect. Okay. Do me a favor, church. Let's go ahead and read together here in Galatians chapter number 3. And let's read together here starting in verse number 10. Galatians 3, verse number 10. Again, what are we talking about? We are talking about the way that God dealt with the nation of Israel, because God gave them the law, not the Gentiles, not the rest of the world. He gave them physical laws to govern them physically in the land of promise of Canaan. Remember that? You Gentiles and your forefathers, he gave you a conscience, and you just did the best you could with what you got. Remember that? Your thoughts excusing you or accusing you. Remember that? Romans chapter 1. So here we have it. Look at how the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul explains to Christians that law. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Does it say underneath the opportunity to earn or merit eternal salvation? No. If they were under that law, the Bible says they were under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in what? All things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In order to have been justified by the law for your soul to earn eternal life, you had to keep every single law in its entirety from the moment you woke up to the moment you slept, from the moment you were a baby to the moment you died as an old person. Who, church tonight, was the only man who ever lived on this planet that kept the laws of God perfectly 24/7 from a babe to the time he died. That obviously was the means for our hope of eternal life. What's his name? Jesus Christ. That's why we are saved by faith in him, because he kept the law of God. As a Israelite, as a Jew in the flesh, as an Hebrew in the flesh, he kept the laws of God. And as a general man to die in the place of all mankind, the son of man, right? That son of Adam in the future. That's why he could save any human, because he could not be cursed by the laws of God. All of our sin and all of our curses were placed upon him as a alternative sacrifice, right? That's the good news of the gospel. Verse number 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. What does that mean? It's obvious, brother. The just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them, what does it say, church, shall live in them. Bless you, sister. So again, it's physical obedience for physical life preservation. Christ hath redeemed us from the what? Curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, Brother Felipe, who took upon himself all of your transgressions that the laws of God rightfully accused you of being guilty of? Jesus Christ. Some of us have a rap sheet, all right, amen? We've been to court before, and the judge says, you are guilty of, and then you broke the law. You understand there was a consequence. I remember standing before the judge one day because I got a speeding ticket. Don't ask me why. Okay, I'll tell you why. It was for a haircut. All right, it was for a haircut. I know, it's silly. I was on my way to Costa Mesa, y'all, because of my greaser days. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to make my haircut all cool. I said, Your Honor, that is correct, sir. I am guilty of breaking the law. I was speeding. I am here to pay the debt, and obviously I paid the debt. But you understand the principle? What did the laws of God do? It condemned you of your sin and of your faults every single time you came short of the glory of God. You get me? That's the law. What did Jesus Christ do? He stepped in before God, the law, and mankind as the mediator. Upon him were placed your sins, your transgressions, your fault. The laws of God cannot condemn Jesus, though, because he's sinless. You get me? His sin, there was no sin in him. His heart, his body, perfect. That's why when Felipe puts his faith in Jesus, Eileen puts her faith in Jesus, Giovanni King and me, Jesus Christ can officially forgive us, requite us, pay the debt. He offered the blood. And now the Father can legally pardon you, give you eternal life. You guys understand that? So who redeemed you from the curse of the law? Jesus Christ. He was made a curse for you. Wow. Now go down with me a little bit, church, to verse number 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, what was one of the purposes for it? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained in the angel by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law, notice, a singular law. It doesn't say laws, plural, church. Look at it. It says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So, church, it's not just the Ten Commandments. The nation of Israel had over 600 commandments or laws, if you will, that they had to keep. And if they failed in one point, James 2:10 says, you're guilty of all. That's why the writer Paul talks about in Romans chapter 2, the Jew who was teaching, hey, if you're teaching men not to steal and you're stealing, you're a lawbreaker. You're teaching men not to commit adultery and you're committing adultery, you're a lawbreaker. In other words, man, I can do my best to say I'm keeping commandments 1 through 9, but boom, commandment 10, I'm broken, you see? There is no law, church, that ever gave anybody the gift of eternal life. That's why Jesus Christ had to die in your place. Verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all in their sin, both the Jew and the Gentile, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to who? Them that what? Does it say believe and have works? Believe and do good? Does it say, church, believe and be baptized? Does it say believe and become a member of a... No, it says what? Believe. Isn't that amazing. Who's thankful for Jesus Christ? Anybody? The simplicity of salvation. Praise God for that. So do you guys understand that point a little bit more about the laws of God? They do not offer nobody life. Jesus Christ does. The laws condemn you. Jesus Christ forgives. You understand that? He took upon himself all of our sin. The law would only point out everywhere you're guilty. Jesus Christ, he invites you. I know you're guilty. I kept the laws. I could save you. I could give you my righteousness, but you got to come. You have to believe. And hence, who came to Christ? Anybody here today? Are you guys saved? Man, he forgave you. You're going to go to heaven when you die. Praise God for that. All right. Our problem is now obedience. You know what I'm saying? We need to keep being faithful. Okay. All right, 495. Before we close, let's talk about another gentleman named Saul. Samson is not the only Old Testament example of someone who may have died in his iniquity. Saul certainly sinned in calling up Samuel from the grave through which the witch of Endor. The Spirit of the Lord had already departed from Saul, signifying that God was finished with him as king. You can read that back there in 1 Samuel chapter 16. In like manner, God's mercy was taken from Saul, apparently about the same time, 2 Samuel 7:15. And despite this, after the witch conjured up Samuel, he assured Saul that he and his sons would be with Samuel in paradise the next day. Are you ready? Let's go to 1 Samuel 28. For some of you who haven't yet read your Old Testament Bible, how many of you guys have ever read through the entire Old Testament? Anybody? Almost done. So, Brother Felipe, anybody else kind of through the Old Testament yet? Y'all started up? Okay, that's good. So try your best one day, church, to go through your whole Bible. How many have you guys read through the New Testament yet, all the way through? Anybody out there? One, two? All right, praise God. So, praise the Lord. So, guys, try to make an effort. Go through the whole Bible. I know you're not going to get it in one reading. That's why it's a lifetime, right? We keep reading it all day long for the rest of our life. I do it cyclical. What does that mean, Brother Carlos? Just like this. I get to the end, come right back to the beginning. Right back to the end, right back to the beginning. So try to go through the Old Testament. So again, for what the author talking about, there was a king of Israel by the name of Saul. He was the guy that was reigning right before King David. Just remember that. And he ended up disobeying God. He did not kill all of the livestock and the people of a people that they were overcoming. He disobeyed God when he did that, and Samuel had to take a fool out. Boom, took him out. You guys can read that on your own time. And as a result, God ended up transferring the kingdom over to David. Remember that? But what about the end of his life? Let's read here in 1 Samuel chapter 28 together. And we are on the page 495 in the study book. And let's go to verse number 19. The Bible says here, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Wow. So disobedience cut Saul's reign short, and this act with the witch cut his life even shorter. However, his soul still went to paradise when it left his body at death. He certainly died in his iniquity and will spend an eternity in the presence of God. The law pronounced the judgment against the soul that turns toward those with familiar spirits like the witch of Endor. Now check this out, guys. Because what happened? King Saul not only sinned against God by disobeying to take out people that he needed to kill by the command of God, but he went to inquire of a witch. Look at verse number 9 in 1 Samuel 28. Or you guys can go back. Let's go here. Oh, yeah, verse number 1, or 7. 1 Samuel 28, 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And her servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. So what does that mean, church? That is just old school for saying this woman has a devil or possession by a devil, or again, communicating in the occult, right? Practicing black magic and all those arts. How many of you guys have probably seen them driving in your local cities here? Palm readers, you know, or come over here and we can fortune tell. Those people that are messing with those spirits, God's law for the nation of Israel forbade that. And if anybody did that stuff, they were to be taken out. Now look at this. Leviticus 20, verse 6. We're in the bottom of page 495 in your study book. Leviticus 20, verse number 6. The Bible says, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits. So that's what King Saul did, right? Well, here's what the laws of God stated for that Hebrew. And after wizards, to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will what? Cut him off from among his people. King Saul, I'm going to take you out. Any Hebrew that tries to go to the downtown psychic, the palm reader right over there, you know, that Gentile Canaanite, you know, she's pretty popular. She's reading everybody's palms. If that Hebrew just desired to go ahead and then eventually they gave into it, take him out. That was the laws of God for the nation of Israel. Page 496. Because of Saul's wicked behavior, he was cut off from among his people. He died the next day. And Samuel's pronouncement gives no indication that Saul and his sons were all simply going to join Samuel in death or on opposite sides of the Great Gulf. Wow. So again, there's also going to be a debate, church. It's not a big deal. When you guys begin to talk to more pastors and you're going to ask them the question, hey, who do you think the witch of Endor brought up? Was it really Saul's spirit? Was it a devil in disguise? Again, I'm not going to get into the debate. The authors here take the position that it truly was Saul, that God permitted that witch to finally actually get the job done properly. But the reason why they're stating that Saul's soul was justified is because of this statement. Let me just read it to you back one more time. 1 Samuel 28, according to Samuel, or again, the manifestation thereof, however you take your position, we're not going to be dogmatic. He stated, after you die, I'm just paraphrasing, like, tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. So wherever Samuel's spirit was, his soul, I'm sorry, okay, you're going to join me. That's why they take the position that he was justified by faith. Does that make sense? 496, Moses. How many of you guys heard of Moses before? Anybody? If considering the examples of Samson and Saul are not sufficient, consider the very man God used to give the law to Israel. Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the earth, Numbers 12:3, and yet he was not without sin, Ecclesiastes 7:20. Let's go ahead and read this verse together, church. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Can I get a volunteer to read this? This is a really good verse, church, to remember. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. There you go. God said, as soon as you come into this world, you have a sinful nature. At some point, you're going to imagine evil. Remember how we talked about that from our studies ago, Genesis, from his youth, imagine only evil. So at some point, that little baby, she's going to start, you know what I'm saying? She's going to start sinning. At some point, when you were a teenager, man, you started doing some things you shouldn't have. Little kid, you should. There was not a just man upon the earth. But who was the just man? Jesus. How about that? Okay. So although he was greatly used by God to lead the people of God out of Egypt, Moses was not allowed to take the people across the Jordan into the land of promise. But why? Well, according to God, let's go ahead and read it together, Numbers 20. Why did God forbid Moses, who literally God used to bring his law to the nation of Israel, why did God forbid him to actually take the nation of Israel into the promised land? Because he sinned against God. Bible says here in verse number 12, Numbers 20, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. God reminded him of his sin that hindered him from entering the land and said that like Aaron, he would be gathered unto thy father's people. Let's go to chapter 27. God told him, Moses, you're going to die. However, Moses, don't be too disgruntled because your soul is going to paradise to see your forefathers. Look at here in Numbers 27, 13. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Certainly, Moses died because of his iniquity, and the same was true of Aaron. Yet both went to paradise. Like Samson, Moses was also mentioned in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11:24. Let's go ahead and end on this last note. These all died in faith. Church, that is the key. What is the key? Faith. Say it with me, church. Faith. Faith is the key to be justified in the eyes of Almighty God. There is no other way to please God apart from faith, Hebrews 11:6. Historically, it was the key both to a lengthened physical life and certainly life after death. The same holds true today for the children of God. Faith in the God-given warnings meant that a man turned from or avoided altogether the rebellion that would send him to an early grave. Someone dying in his iniquity in Ezekiel had nothing in and of itself to indicate a man's eternal destination. Top of page 497. Now attention is turned to addressing another misconception before we close. This verse from Hebrews mentioned those who died in faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Before we close, let's go ahead and read this last paragraph together. Hebrews 11. And let's go down here to verse number 13. Apparently, there are still some Christians who still want to argue with the Bible. Notice, church, you're not going to argue with Brother Carlos, because all I have to do is read the Bible. They have to literally try to disprove the Word of God, and they can't. But look at here, Hebrews 11:13. The Bible states here, church, that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those who teach that a man who died in his iniquity ended up in hell likewise teach that someone who died in faith was saved. In fact, Hebrews 11:13 has often been referenced as teaching in the past and at present that man had to die faithfully serving and believing the Lord. While it is certainly our desire to die with that kind of a testimony, this is, however, no excuse for an improper interpretation of the passage. Read the verse again. What does it actually say? These, that is, the people in the immediate context preceding verse number 13, all died in faith, not having received the promises. Church, they saw the promises afar off, but they did not receive the promises prior to each of them dying. Therefore, they died in faith concerning those promises that they saw but had not received. Does that make sense? They were strangers and pilgrims on earth because they did not live to enjoy the fullness of the land that God promised. Just as dying in iniquity had absolutely nothing to do with going to hell, dying in faith in Hebrews 11:13 had nothing to do with going to paradise. Does anybody here have any questions so far about what we talked about tonight? Anybody? Any comments or Bible questions, perhaps? Nobody? Do you guys understand a little bit of what we talked about tonight concerning the laws of Israel, how they don't give any man eternal life? We talked about Samson as an example. He died because of his sin, but his soul was saved because of his. There you go. Sister Charlene, amen. She's getting free dinner tonight. Number two, Moses, he was justified by faith. God used him to literally bring about the laws to the nation of Israel. But he died. He wasn't able to take the children of Israel to the promised land because he disobeyed God. But he went to paradise. He was justified. Three, King Saul died because of his disobedience, justified soul because of his faith. Does anybody have any questions or comments about what we talked about tonight before we close with a word of prayer? Y'all good? Okay, so what is the most important thing that pleases God, church? Anybody? What? Your salvation. Okay, anybody else? What is required to please God from the get-go? Having faith. Look right there. What does it say, brother? Go ahead and read that verse. Go ahead and read that verse. Verse 6. And it's just memorable, yeah, right there, Knuckles. Go ahead. Read the verse. For he that what? Diligently. There you go. So before we end tonight, just think about that. Some of you said, I want to get into my word more, right? Some of you say, I want to have a better prayer life. I want to read my Bible more. I know that there are certain areas in my life that I need to work on to please God. You know what God just told you? He is ready to reward you, bless you. When you what, church? What is the last three words? Diligently seek him. My question to you tonight, you don't have to answer. Are you diligently really trying to read your Bible? Are you diligently really trying to set apart time for prayer? Are you diligently trying to set apart time to go soul winning? Are you diligently really trying to give your finances, to be obedient, to take care of your church? Are you diligently trying to come to church on time? Are you diligently trying to communicate? I just want you to ask yourself. He is ready to reward you. Notice, every single one of you tonight. But what do you have to do? You already have faith. How many of you guys are saved? You're saved, right? You put your faith in the gospel. What's the next step now? Diligently seek him. So tonight, praise God, you're here at a Bible study. You are seeking him. We're learning more. But when you get home, all of y'all, myself, we need to continue to diligently seek him so he could reward us and help us to be more pleasing to him. Amen? Y'all receive that? Let's go ahead and close the word of prayer. Anybody want to close out tonight in prayer? Go ahead. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, sister. The Lord bless you guys. Have a good rest of your night.